Charlotte Soccer Show, we are live. What's up? It's a Two Dannys edition of the Charlotte Soccer Show. What's up, Daniel Brackett? Welcome to the show. Glad to have you in the mix.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me. It's been a little while, so I'm glad to make a debut, especially after a nice win to talk about.
Oh, it's a midweek. Strangely, we had no midweek game tonight, so we took a couple days to soak in that win. A couple events in the Charlotte FC world have been going on that we're going to talk about. And we are winners, as we lose your light there, but we got you back. And thanks to anyone. We're going live here. I don't know if anyone's going to have time to join us. It's 8:30 p.m. on a wonderful Wednesday night here. So anyone who joins us here, we're pretty happy about it. But we will also be posting this on the YouTube channel, on the audio. There'll be an audio-only version of this for those who like to listen on their podcast apps. Glad to have everyone. We usually stream it live on the Twitter page also, but since the last time we did this, you now have to have a premium account to stream live to Twitter, so who knew? Thanks, Elon, for that. But hey, it is what it is. We are live on Instagram as well, Charlotte Soccer City. You know how we do it here. All our social channels have different names because we don't really care about social media search engine optimization. We just like to name things what they are.
You like to mix it up.
Like to mix it up, exactly. So speaking of mixing it up, things have been really great in Charlotte FC world ever since Saturday's 4-0 win over New England. Got so much to talk about that, and I've got a bunch of elements. We're going to show the highlights. We're going to show the goals. We're going to listen to the goals. We're going to talk about the goals. We're going to listen to Dino. I'm going to apologize to Dino for some things I said on Friday before the match. But just before we get into all that, Daniel, why don't you give your just sort of early thoughts and your instant reactions and how it feels to see Charlotte FC back in winning ways.
It means a lot. This Monday, you know, on Monday, you're back to reality, back to work. And the fact that I got to, you know, go to Charlotte FC on Saturday and not only to mention the other team in the Carolinas won as well. So it was like a really weird Monday for me because it was just a winning weekend in Charlotte. So we needed this bad. The fans needed it bad. It's been a slog, especially since League's Cup. We didn't play like a month of football during the summer, which was kind of a bummer. And so Right. Just to get back and to be back at the Fortress and to have a great crowd on a beautiful Saturday, a nice 4 o'clock kickoff too, which is honestly fantastic. I loved having it that early. Just the vibes were immaculate.
The 4 o'clock kickoff was real nice. We talked about that on the pregame show, just how it's something a little different. Johnny and I on our pregame episode, we talked a lot about how it just gets to be a little bit of a grind, and you don't want to give up every single Saturday night or, you know, multiple Saturday nights week after week after week. And obviously there's some breaks in there. There was the long Leagues Cup break and all that. But it's just nice to change it up. It's nice to have an afternoon match, get out to the stadium in the afternoon, do something a little different. So then you can go do something else with your Saturday night that you may want to do and you know, go see some other form of entertainment. So, yeah, it was real nice. I thought the attendance was pretty well represented for an afternoon game in a world where college football is back and things like that. I don't know. If you look on TV, there was kind of some empty seats in the sunshine, but in the shady areas, it was looking really nice. And the supporters section looked pretty good, too.
I mean, I was in the sunshine, and I thought about moving to the shade. I was getting wrecked by the sun. It was hot. It was hot in the sun.
So it's hot, baby.
I can't blame the fans that maybe have moved into the shade to have a better viewing experience.
Yeah, no, you can't blame anybody for anything. You can't blame anybody for doing whatever floats their boat and makes them happy for sure. I mentioned the pregame, the pre New England episode that Johnny and I did. And the big takeaway from that, I'm going to play a clip that we played on that episode because there was a response to it. And the club's response was to go out and score 4 goals, obviously, which was pretty nice. But if you missed this, people have been talking to me about this. So I'm not trying to necessarily just draw attention to myself, but in the pregame presser on Friday before Saturday's match, I had a little interaction with Dino that kind of, maybe raised an eyebrow, maybe made a wave. Let's see. It's one thing to have a bad result, obviously, but it's another thing from my fans' perspective and fans I talk to and go to games with to play boring. What's a reaction that you have to hearing that the team is just boring and it's a chore for us as fans to show up and watch this team play the way they play right now?
Well, that's the first time I've heard you say that, to be honest. So I haven't heard it. That's the first time I've heard it. Listen, that's one thing we don't want to be, that's for sure. We want to be an aggressive attacking team. You need the players to be performing well to do that. But we also need to be hard to beat. We need to know where we're at as a team. When I first came in here, I told you right from the start that we needed to be a mid-block team. We haven't got the players that are going to go and open people up. Probably still are that at the moment. We need space to run into. We need grass to run into. But we need to be solid and hard to beat first and foremost.
My bad, Dino. My bad. I don't know. I think the club came out and said, "Who are you calling boring, Danny Brands? What the hell do you know?" Charlotte FC is back after the four goal performance, another clean sheet, another nice win against New England. But Daniel, was I crazy? Was I way off base to say that during the three match losing streak and during some of the draws and drop points and even like the club had just become hard to watch? Am I the only one who was thinking that?
You're not off on that at all. And in terms of how we have played all season, it hasn't been great all season. So when you're in winning ways and you're winning ugly, that's one thing. But dropping three matches in a row and putting like less than three, four shots on target the entire game, that's just unacceptable. And I commend you for echoing that sentiment that I feel like the fans said, and it needed to be said. I think Charlotte FC, something that makes us special as a club is how much the fans care and that we held the club to a certain standard. And I feel like you did it by asking that question. So thank you for doing that.
Hey man, I did what I could. I got the spirit of Shotgun Will in me. I promise I was not drinking before that. I am drinking now, and I will cheers you for commending me. I've got a bottle of wine. Whenever I'm live streaming, I like to just drink straight from the bottle, taking pulls on my cab sauv. What are you drinking over there, Daniel?
I took a shot of tequila before the mic was hot, so I just needed something to loosen me up. So I
Love it.
got a some hydration here, but I did take a nice little tequila shot right before.
I love it. I cannot. I've had, tequila and I are not friends, but we do know each other very well. So 100%.
Not there
Shout
yet.
out. Yeah. Shout out to Ryan Jones, who is chatting along and he's cheersing up. Ryan, what are you drinking? Let us know what you're drinking, please. Anyone who's in the comments, again, thanks to anyone who's joining us live. We feel very honored to have you because, it's not easy to get people to just tune in to a bunch of yokels. Live streaming away late on a Wednesday night, especially when there's a season ticket member event that we will get to later in this episode. Ryan,
Real
check.
quick, do you mind if I, you know, I loved how you asked that question in the presser, but
Thank you.
what I learned most was his answer. And he kind of, said, we're a low block team. We don't have individuals that can beat people one on one. That I was like, okay, wow. Is this a shot at the players to kind of get them fired up? Is this a shot at the front office to go get him the players that he wants after a slower window? I thought that, that comment spoke a thousand words to me.
I'll quote one of my most used gifts and say, "Why not both?" I think it's kind of the British, more experienced, more diplomatic version of saying, "Right now we're screwed," which Miguel Angel Ramirez so famously said. Because yeah, that you could say he did say we don't have the players to play a different style than what we do. Now, here's how you know that Dean went was first off, he turned red in the face as soon as I asked him that, so you could see that for sure. The other thing is he talked about it after the match. So we're going to look at all the highlights of the goals shortly, but we all know we won the match 4-0. Here's what Dean said, and this was like the second or third thing that he said in his post-game presser. So that it didn't sit with him that well.
It will certainly boost the confidence of the players, because the enjoyment of playing the game is winning, and winning when you've worked really hard and played really well. I was a little bit offended yesterday. Somebody suggested that we're boring. I'd suggest we've not been any different to when we beat Philadelphia away 2-0. We've not done anything different in training. We've not worked any difference. Sometimes, and I watched the Miami game against New York City before this, and it was an untidy game. And I said it takes teams a while to find the rhythm after that break.
So Dino says Miami and New York City are boring. How about that? You got to love it. So I don't know what you could tell that he was kind of offended by me calling him boring, I guess.
He also took a shot at the League's Cup, so I like that as well. So I wasn't a big fan either. So
I was a year one League's Cup fan, and then year two, I was like, League's Cup's not working. Maybe that's results-oriented since we made a little bit of a run in the first League's Cup, so we were always playing. It was nice to get the extra games. But when you go out, when you get grouped in League's Cup, it's just like, why? What are we freaking doing here? Who even knows? But, yeah, I can happily report, and Bridget McCall checks in the comments. Thank you, Bridget. She's heading home from the season ticket holders event. You know, eyes on the road, Bridget. You know, but thank you for streaming us while you drive. Much appreciated. I'm happy to report that I did go to the season ticket holder event myself earlier today, and I went up to Dino. Dino was there. Shout out to Dino for being at the meet and greet this year, which Christian Latanzio, could you imagine Christian Latanzio showing up at a meet and greet? No, hell no, he wouldn't. So I met with Dino. All is well with Dino and I. He's not pissed. I walked right out to him. He looked right at me, said, oh, you know, like he knew who he was talking to. And, you know, hey, I shook his hand. I said, Dino, I love you. And, you know, you couldn't get me five goals, brother. Like, you know, it's still boring without five. No, I didn't say that. But it was great to see Dino. Great to see so many great people out at the event. Just love the way that the club makes players accessible, the long lines for autographs, long lines to get in, but efficiently handled and things like that. So club really does a lot of people are upset about season ticket prices going up, you know, the rising cost of everything. I don't know. They could probably, you know, I'd love them to stay cheaper, but, you know, you want to yell at specific people. I'm not sure who to yell at other than Daddy David Tepps. So, yeah, I wish season ticket prices didn't go up. But as of now, I am a renewed season ticket member. Kept both my seats in the supporter section. Oftentimes have an extra ticket. So if you ever want to go to a match, hit up old Danny Brams. You know, we'll be happy to try to oblige if we've got it. Now, I want to ask you this question, though, Danny, because we're going to look at the starting 11 from this match. Again, I keep teasing that the goal videos are coming, and they are coming. But, you know, let's give a few more people a chance to get in here. But let's start with the situation with this. Is it as simple as just play Privet and win?
It feels that way, right? After a couple of abysmal games, not only do you score four goals, but you keep a clean sheet. Feel like we haven't kept a clean sheet in the last, what, two or three games now, since Ream has kind of entered the lineup. So Dean kind of found a way to enter all of, you know, Ream and Privet into the lineup.
Yeah.
And we looked really solid defensively for the most part. I would say the first 20 minutes were slightly shaky, but after kind of surviving the first, you know, part of the game jitters, we looked pretty good defensively.
Yeah, what did you think of Ream at left back? We've got some comments. Ryan Jones, thanks for contributing to the show tonight. If Ream's great skill is his ability to send those pinpoint long balls that we've seen since he got here and that we've seen all his career, is he at left back kind of a nice little move?
Against – when you're dominant in possession, absolutely.
Right.
New England Revolution are a inferior – opponent to us. Sure. So in this scenario at home, it makes a lot of sense. Now, if we're playing Columbus or a team that is better than us, maybe Miami
on Saturday. Yeah, exactly.
I probably would go with no. You know, cause you probably want your left back bombing up the field quite a bit on the counter. I just don't think Ream has the legs to do that at this stage in his career. Now, in possession-based football, when he has a little time on the ball and can spray those passes around, absolutely. But I could see, you know, against a messy in Miami, it turning into a little bit of a Christian Fuchs scenario where he gets leggy real fast and things get ugly.
Yeah, exactly. Member of the Charlotte FC media family who will remain nameless used to call Fuchs the turtle back in 22. So funny. I won't burn that person. But you talk about possession football and dominance. Take a look at the numbers. I mean, even before the red card, this is the attacking momentum chart courtesy of the good folks over at SofaScore. There was a little bit mid first half and a tiny stretch early second half where New England tried to put a little pressure on. Carlos Hill made a few things happen. Kalina did make a huge, huge save when the game was still nil-nil that I think was extremely important. But for the most part, this is Charlotte FC dominance.
Absolutely. What you expect, too.
Yeah. I mean, New England, one of the worst teams in the league. We will look at the league table before we're all said and done here. But yeah, I like what you're saying. Part of me says, you know, you don't change a winning side. You know, why not just run the same starting 11 out there that did so well against New England? But Miami is not New England. You can't run the same 11 against Miami that you ran against New England, I don't think. So there probably will be some changes on Saturday, you think?
Yeah. Now, it's a good thing that I'm not Dean, because it'd be a tough one to change here. Yeah. But that's why he gets paid the big bucks, and that's why we're talking right now.
Yeah, exactly. That's why we are not getting paid, and that's yeah. why that's why we're streaming this thing live to a handful of great, loyal viewers and listeners, and we can't thank you enough for being here. Y'all, you talk about who that starting 11. Here's the ratings. You got to love when everyone – what's the one thing you notice here? The one person not rated above a 7.
I think that's Carol Swiderski, that? The number 9. Yeah.
I mean, if he'd gotten weird. To play – if he'd gotten – you know, if he'd play – I think he subbed out 63 minutes in, and then Patrick came in and just did some amazing things, which we're just about to watch. But, yeah, you hate to see Carol, one of the DPs, as the lowest rated. I think if he'd gotten to play against 10 men for 25 minutes, he would have found a way to get himself on the score sheet. And credit, you know, credit to Carol. It's not going to turn into a Carol bashing session. You know, I think Carol has been a pretty decent teammate since his comeback from Verona. Tough to say perfect. He's definitely insistent on taking those penalties and refusing to let anyone else even look at the ball once the ref signals and points to the spot. But I got no real beef with Carroll's attitude as far as that goes since his return. What about you?
What I will say is, you know, you mentioned should Dean make any changes. I don't see Carroll starting at the number 9 against Miami.
Okay. Interesting.
Now, if you send him to the bench, that's one thing. You can play him at the 10. We all know how that went. But that I could see that with Pep on the wing. I think when Miami's going to be possession based and we need a counter, if we need to send a long ball out and kind of just give some relief here, we need Patrick Adjumon up top hunting that ball down and fighting with the center backs. I just don't think the matchup is as well. And now in terms of Carroll, I wasn't that impressed with his performance this weekend. I'm a person who wants Carroll to succeed wherever he goes.
What a great euphemism. I'm a person who wants Carroll to succeed. That's incredible.
I feel like there's not that many people these days that could say that. So
He does. You know, he's come in for a lot of stick, as they say.
Yes. And for, you know, for good reason. Sorry about that. He is the DP, and he's the guy who was kind of the guy we depended on for a season and a half at least. So, you know, right. I expect. Yeah, exactly. So,
I mean, he has as many, as many goals as he has penalties attempted so far in his return, and he's had a couple big chances missed, which I've really hated to see. Speaking of goals, I think it's time. I've teased him 3 or 4 times now, so let's watch the goals in order, and they're real nice. And you're going to see the Ajimong's footwork on the assist to Pep is, and the way he just like dekes out Tim Parker is so freaking nice. But let's first look at the Abada goal. Let's play them all in order. Here is Liel Abada, real nice play, and watch for the Bronny Bro back heel prior to Charlotte. Did he learn this playing for the 49ers, Daniel? You'll have to let me know. Let's watch.
He sure did.
Yeah.
Goal unfolded in Orlando Wednesday. Bringing the attack here for Abada. Ivicic the save. The second save. And then Abada bangs it home. The crowd crescendoing into the need of the goal they most certainly desired. Abada scores at the bank for the first time since April. 1-0. There's a clever little ball in here from Brant Bronicol, which I really love. There it is, the little back heel, and Abada hits it first.
Ivicic does well, but Abada stays in and around it and alive, puts it into the back of the net. And I said he's the DP and he has to go and do it. And he stays alive and it comes back to him from Arriaga and he puts it home. 1-0 Charlotte FC.
Nice goal. Shout out Pep for keeping that alive when Ivicic could have tried to pick it up. Pep kept the play going, kept the pinball moving. And then Javier Arriaga, former Seattle Sounder, now New England, been banished to New England with a nice assist to Abada, who stayed with the play.
Yeah, you mentioned that back heel by Brandt. It wasn't like a Cruyff turn pass, which is a lot easier to do. Right. I don't think people understand how hard that little death flick is, just to redirect it just a little bit, but keeping that pace. Right. I try it all the time and I fail, so I know how hard it is.
He rolled it right into Abada's path. Abada was able to take a shot in stride from outside the box or near outside the box and had no issue with starting that play and getting Ivicic going. I thought it was a great goal, and it was a beautiful, beautiful way to start the scoring, especially because we had just nearly conceded on the other end. And it was nice that we sort of turned that into our own thing and then it kind of took the match by the scruff of the neck. That's what sent us into halftime 1-0, right? And beautiful, you know, nice to have a lead. The team had been playing really well. And it wasn't long, though, after we got into the second half, that another goal came. And this is where the subs started coming in, and Patrick Ojemong was heard from and made his voice known. Here we go.
Nice. Forward from East Hartford, Connecticut, to Biel! Bullseye! Pep is going to hear some Peppas. His first for the crowd. And the summer DP makes it two. Great work from Patrick Ojemong, recently come on, holding off his defender first, then holding off the next one, then pushing it, and then you can't catch him. Picks out Pep Biel in the area where goals are scored for Charlotte's second goal of the game. That's great stuff by Ojemong. It makes it look easy, honestly.
Daniel, I know Karol Swiderski could make that pass, that little slide-in pass to Pep in traffic. I'm not sure Karol Swiderski could get himself into that position, like beating three defenders, holding off one off his back, using his left foot behind his right to get around the other into space, and then just outrunning two guys to get himself into the open place to make the pass. Absolutely lovely play, a wonderful, wonderful goal, and you could see how excited everyone in the attack was to celebrate that thing because that was a beautiful goal.
Bullseye. I love that call.
Neil Sika fan here, yeah.
Raw athleticism there by Ojemong. And when it came to turning his defender, beating the second one, this is where the development of Pat has developed this year. When he drove on that line, that final pass, he can always finish, but that final pass was sometimes lacking in the fact that he picked his head up, wasn't selfish, found Pep for the easy tap-in. That is where Pat has developed his game this year, and that's why he's the top output scorer in Charlotte FC right now.
Yeah, it's a little misleading because MLS gives those secondary assists, you know, so Patrick has the most goals. He has the most goal contributions, goals plus assists. A lot of those are secondary. A lot of his assists are secondary assists, including the one on the Vargas goal, the fourth goal that we're going to watch here in just a minute. But that's not his fault. That MLS counts him, so we might as well count him. I'm not trying to take anything away from the kid because he's dominant. He's got like 25 goal contributions, I think, compared to like everybody else's down in the teens on the list. So you can't be mad at him. He's freaking Big Pat, you know. Call Pat. The call went out and it was answered. And you talk about the finishing from Patrick. It wasn't much longer until he showed us that. As well, and this one was after the red card, right? It was shortly after the red card. but it doesn't matter. He made it look real, real easy.
Quality goal.
Biel. Adjiman's in. Patrick Adjiman! Number 8 for the New England Natives!
With the man advantage, there's just a lot of spaces now. Look at the space for Adjiman here. He's got all day to get on it. And watch him set himself up and really hit through that ball. He takes his time. Eyes on the ball. A little start step before he hits it. Right into that corner. That's a really good finish.
I mean, the finish is nice. I want to hear from you on the finish, but oh, the pass from Pep. That's what we were promised when Pep was brought in on the final day of the transfer window, is that this guy is going to make passes that other people on this team can't make. Perfectly into space. I loved it from Diani with the over-the-top ball. Pep takes one touch. Second touch is the assist into space. Patrick takes it in full stride. First touch. That's something that's been killing me. I've been wanting from this team so bad is just that first touch play, that first, like, making things happen without having to take two extra touches and things like that. Great comment here in the comments from Ryan Jones, who says Lloyd Sam knew it before Pat even touched it. The goal was coming. He could see it. Lloyd knows what he's talking about always. And what did you think, Daniel?
Yeah, I mean, exactly echoing what you said. The fact that Pep Biel settled it, picked his head up, and played the early pass, still giving Patrick Adjiman a good angle on goal, plus the quality of that pass. We've been lacking that final pass for feels like years now. And then, I mean, he had Bronico and the winger to cross, but there was no chance Pat was passing that ball. He was going to put that in the back of the net all day. That's like, I feel like that's his signature angle right there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he put the ball in the back of the net like he always does.
All I can say is cheers, Pat. Beautiful goal. Cheers, Pat. Cheers, Pep. Love when you get back-to-back goals and it's like Patrick to Pep and then Pep to Patrick, you know, paying each other back, paying it forward, paying it in, you know, abusing 10 men, making it happen. You know, when they go down a man, New England, it's up to us to punish them, and punish them we did, even to the point of not only did one sub get a goal and an assist, and then he got a secondary assist on this play to another sub that ended up scoring, Kerwin Vargas. This is great, and this, we've been talking so much about how we want to see more from Kerwin Vargas. I will play this clip, and then Daniel, I want to know if you saw what you needed to from Kerwin Vargas.
Bronico. Adjiman. Tavares. Kerwin Vargas. Colombian. What in that celebration from the moment he got on the field. The famous flip for the fourth.
A lot of fun going on. Look at this bit of football. Passing the movement. There's a turn, Adjiman into Tavares, little touch there, through the legs. Vargas puts it into the corner along the ground. And then he does his flips, but this is a good finish. Good finish on the ground, right into the side netting.
How about the dummy from Bronico to let that ball roll through? Amazing stuff. What did you think of that goal?
The squad was starting to feel themselves for sure. I mean, that intricate, like, final third play,
right?
Bronico with a flick for the second. He dummies this one to Vargas, and Vargas, instead of, you know, trying to go for the top bins, just puts it bottom corner.
Yeah, with some nice little English on it. You know, thing's going wide at first, and then it takes a left turn into the net.
Phenomenal, phenomenal, and you could see the confidence every single goal. The Charlotte FC players just like the belief started to grow and grow and grow, and then that's probably the best goal of the day, to be honest, in terms of the team goal.
Wow, that's a big statement.
I mean, we're talking about final third 1-2-1-2-1-2 dummy goal. I mean, that's the beautiful game right there.
I mean, we just saw 4 goals. I want to hear from the commenters. We'll put them up on the screen. Tell us your favorite. Take your pick of the 4 goals. Which one do you like the best? Fire away in the comments. We want to see it. And while I wait for those, and I'll pop them up as they start to come in, Daniel, I want to just kick it over to you to say, because I'm an old man. I used to play pickup soccer back in the day. I have a lot of fun. I love to be out on the pitch, you know. But you play pretty high level. Like you actually play soccer. You play in weekly men's leagues. You get after it. You get a lot of scoring done. What's it like when a team is just clicking like that? And have you ever been in that scenario where you're just everything's working and your team is just kicking ass? How does it feel?
Feels pretty damn great. I'm not going to lie. That's, if you could bottle up, you know, those moments where, you know, you're just tiki-taka, just completely playing a team off the park. There's literally no better feeling in the world, especially when it's just one touch, two touch, like proper football. If I could bottle that feeling up and have that every day, I'd, you know, have a wonderful life.
Well, shout out. We just got a comment from Pedro Enrique Mendez. Amongst the thousands and thousands who are watching right now online around the world, we're people checking in from Brazil. We love to see that. We've got one vote for Ajmong's goal. Do you think Patrick, if he just crushes MLS, maybe makes a name for himself in the playoffs and then has an amazing year next year, is this a guy that we could be looking up for a World Cup call-up in a year and a half?
I mean, certainly. He needs to start more games show the media his credentials, and that obviously would inflate his stats ideally. But the national media, I saw the MLS was talking about him quite a bit. And so my first priority is locking him down as a Charlotte FC player, because I do not want to have to play against Patrick Ajimon. But then, you know, he could be the future number 9 for Charlotte FC. And then, you know, he could play his way into, you know, a national team call up, at least, and be in the pool for like a World Cup, in terms of when they have 30, 40 players competing for those 26 spots.
Right. Just get him into the camp and let him cook, you know, like exactly.
The striker list is long though. So he has a long hill to climb, but I explained this, you know, we've talked about this multiple times off camera. I mean, he's exponentially increasing his value as well as his skill. He gets better every single game he plays. So the more games he plays, for me, I think the better he's going to get.
Brian Schulford in the comments is agreeing with you and says Vargas's daisy cutter was the finish we've been waiting for. I think that's my fave. I kind of agree. The interplay was pretty nice. I just love Pep's pass so much that I think the Pep to Aji is my favorite. Although then I think about Patrick's footwork and beating the three defenders.
They're all good goals.
That Bronco dummy. It's just like, it's insane. Like the first goal was a great goal, but it's not even really, Abada's goal is not even really in the discussion, even though on any other day it might have been considered an absolutely great goal.
I mean, it was a hustle goal. I'm just glad that Abada kind of got on the sheet again. I feel like he needed that goal to get started again. He started MLS hot and kind of cooled off from there. So I'm really happy that this might, you know, spur on a couple more goal involvements in the next couple of weeks.
Yep. I need to work on my Portuguese here.
Urso had a really good chance that he spurred.
Yeah, he did.
That's what it was.
Yeah, and that was from our boy Nathan Byrne too. I would have loved to see Bernie get an assist. Shout out to Byrne on his new contract. We may get a few minutes to talk about that as well. Mwa in the comments is also seeing the same thing. Urso played a good game. Urso, Dean mentioned it as well. Speaking of Dean, he commented about what are we going to do going forward, right? What does this team do going forward? Is Swiderski our starting striker? Or is it Patrick who needs to start? A lot of people have their opinions. I don't know if this match switched anyone's opinions. Some people say, oh, Pat's better as a sub coming against tired defense. Other people say, oh, Pat's the one who makes the defense get tired more than anybody else. So here's what Dean was asked on the post-game press conference after the match, his thoughts on who the starting striker might need to be against Miami.
I've got some good decisions to make. You know, I like that. That's what, you know, I thought Carroll did well for 60 minutes, and then Patrick's come on and done what we asked of him when he came on the pitch. Would Pat have done that if he'd started? We don't know. I mean, you know, we haven't got hindsight, but I like the fact that Carroll did well and he's physically looking in a better place. He needs a goal, we know that. And we'll keep working with him to get a goal, but it's great to have the competition at the moment. You know, we started with the front three, and you know, it could have been others. Kerwin's come off the bench and scored. As I say, Patrick's come off the bench and scored, and Yuri Tavares has been the unlucky one who's not played as many minutes as he probably could have done, you know, given the last three games before the the break where he scored 2 out of 3.
Pretty non-committal.
Pretty non-committal. Pretty non-committal. Yeah, classic Dean saying, using a lot of words to say absolutely nothing. But word salad. Yeah, I think I want. If it's up to me, I'm starting Patrick after that performance. After star of the night on MLS wrap up, potential player of the match day. He was in the voting. I think you got to give Patrick a start, and that's not to say you can't start him and Carroll together. It's tough. You know, Vargas was benched here. It's tough to maybe Brawny needs a rest. I'm not sure. It's tough to bench Brawny.
Does he ever need a rest?
It's not really. Not really. Even after his party on Sunday, which we'll get to shortly, Brawny was even, you know, had a couple of pops, I think. Brawny's not a huge drinker, I don't think, but he had a couple of pops. But he looked like he could play 90 minutes again tonight at the season ticket event for sure. You know, keep the opponents guessing. Is there anything wrong with just keeping the opponents guessing? I don't think there is.
No, certainly not. It's the game plan for Pat versus Carroll is completely polar opposite. So, you know, I feel like Dean's going to keep it close to the vest until the starting lineups come out.
Yeah. And we, you know, I'm actually going to do a more focused match preview for the Charlotte and the Inter Miami match tomorrow night live on YouTube. So teaser for that. I'm joining my friends Chris and Danny at the Battered Herons podcast. I've been lucky enough to go on their show a few times whenever we play Miami. Really, two really cool dudes. Probably the only two Inter Miami fans that I like. So you know, and I'll try to cross post that to this channel for everyone who doesn't care to follow them, but might want to be interested in what we have to say about it. There are people who want to see Carroll and Pat play together. I think it would probably require benching one of the two defensive mids and kind of changing the shape that way, which I don't think is very smart against Inter Miami. So
not against Inter Miami, it'd be interesting against another team though.
Yeah, we got Chicago and Montreal at home, and then a trip to DC 2 weeks later. It'd be nice to see that in one of those sort of easy matchups, Chicago or Montreal, as what might work in the playoffs. Just because we might need to do that in the playoffs. So put it out there in sort of a plus-plus matchup just to see how it can work together. Get them some actual match day minutes in that setup together. I don't hate it. Do you hate it or do you love it?
No, I don't. I mean, I know John Hayes has been saying this all along. He wants to see the two start together. So Dean's got some interesting decisions ahead of him. Hopefully it's not for Inter Miami, but I'd love to see it against Chicago.
Yeah, and if we ever need to, don't forget we've got this one saved forever. 4-4-2. We can always bust up the 4-4-2 when needed. This is a staple of Charlotte Soccer Show. It's in the archives. I can get this graphic up within seconds anytime anyone wants to reference it. It never goes away, thankfully, to the good people at StreamYard who make it happen for us. I want to pop up one other overlay, though, real quick here. We show the starters ratings. Here are the goal scorers heat maps and ratings. You see even Kerwin got a 7.6, I think, if I'm reading that right. Pat with an 8.7 in 27 minutes of play. And Pat didn't really need to move around too much. Kerwin was pretty some big yellow spots there in limited minutes, which I like. And Pep with just some multiple red spots all over the board. This is some nice heat maps from these goal scorers.
Absolutely. I was reading an article the other day of how the right winger / inverted playmaker is just the hot commodity. You have Michael Olise, Cole Palmer, for example. And it seems like Pep Biol is kind of playing that role right now. As you see, he kind of drifts inside at times into the middle of the park. He starts out wide and then drifts in. So I kind of like that position for him. It obviously didn't look good against in the previous match, but I feel like he really found his footing on the right side in this game.
Yeah, and as Ryan Jones comments, Pep with some red spots in the defense there, not afraid to cover some ground and track back a little bit to start to make some things happen. You heard it here first, folks, straight out of the mouth of Daniel Brackett on Charlotte Soccer Show. Pep Biel is the Cole Palmer of MLS. I love it. That's a really strong, really powerful take, and we really appreciate it, Daniel.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, you mentioned Pep Biel's defensive contributions. Antonio Conte, a serial winner, said championship teams know how to play as a team. And it seems like Pep Biel's kind of bought into the Dino's philosophy. And the fact that he's tracking back here, I feel like means the world to me, at least as a fan.
Yep. So a couple other things to note, and then we'll get out of here. Thanks for everyone who's the billions around the globe who've been watching us here for the last 40 minutes. Again, it, against Miami, it's going to be just some quick thoughts on that. For me, it's going to be a match that shows us where we are. It's tough to take too much of a measuring stick from blowing out New England. I'm glad we did it. Team much less boring, as we addressed off the top. But against Miami, who has shown they can be a great team, whether they have Messi or not. They're chasing a points record. They're trying to beat the New England. Oh, how the mighty have fallen. It wasn't just 3 years ago that New England Revolution set a league record for most points in league history. And now that record's set to fall with what Miami's doing this year, Messi or no Messi. Are you going to put too much stock in this game? Is this game more of a measuring stick, or is it a tale of two extremes? What do you think?
I'm not drawing too much from last weekend's game. It's good to see ourselves back in sixth, but we'll see how we fare against Inter Miami, who has a pretty good lead here at the top. I expect Messi to start in this game. So last time we played Messi, it didn't go over too well. I hope we at least play better than we did last time. And even if we lose, but it's a close game, I'd be fairly happy with that. I think a draw would be a fantastic result, though.
Yeah.
Could be a very rainy game with the storm coming in, potentially.
Yeah. It could be absolutely crazy with the weather. Miami looking to get 70. If they can clear 12 points from their final four matches, they'll be sitting on 76, which would blow the league record away, which is 73 by the Revs just a few years back. So they could even afford to slip up. They could lose this match to Charlotte FC and still go tie the points record. But I think they're going to be going all out because they want to be doing big things. They pretty much got a supporter shield locked up. Charlotte FC is kind of playing for seeding here. And if we can I was kind of pessimistic when we talked pre-New England, saying, 5 points from five matches. We've got three of them already. So now with four matches, could we get four more points and get ourselves up to 45. I still don't think that would get us top four, but what I would love is just early quick talk. I didn't even plan to go here. This wasn't in the rundown, but we're going to throw out the rundown real quick because I want to get your take, Daniel. And we will talk more about this when things solidify a little more. But, I mean, of Columbus, Cincy, Red Bulls, and Orlando, wouldn't you much rather have that first-round playoff series be against Orlando in like a 4-5 situation?
Absolutely. I'm not trying to play 1-3. Red Bulls, Orlando, NYCFC, those are the teams that I'm kind of highlighting here as teams that we definitely have a great chance, especially as we played Orlando recently and it wasn't so pretty.
Red Bulls have been struggling. If they could just keep struggling, and if somehow Orlando and Charlotte both pass the Red Bulls, I would much rather be playing a 3-game series against Orlando than against even the Red Bulls, even a wounded Red Bulls team, just because they always give us trouble. I consider them a rival. But, we've had a good record against Cincy and Columbus, but I don't want any part of them in a playoff series right now.
No, and they're going to be looking at that record pretty all weekend long before playing us if we do match up against them.
Yeah, for sure. I want to talk real quick about one of the stalwarts of the defensive line that has been so good and one of the best, one of the top two, if not the best defense in the league. And it's Nathan Byrne. Nathan Byrne, contract extension announced today. He talked about it. We interviewed Nathan Byrne on this channel just a few episodes ago, and you highly encouraged to go back and watch that. Talk to Byrne today out at the headquarters for a few minutes in sort of a media scrum scenario. He said all the right things about so excited to be here, doesn't want to be anywhere else, really glad. He's here through 2026. I think that takes him to like age 34, 35, depending on the month, with an option for 27. Seems like he's got a lot of gas in the tank. I think Byrne is a guy who does tend to get beat a little bit from time to time, but he's so good at recovering that you hardly notice. He's got one of the best smiles on the team. He said all the right things about – I asked him about – Privet and Ream and Yere and guys getting dropped and guys getting subbed. He said, you need more than four defenders to have a good back line. He's locked in on all the right attitudinal things, talked about how great it felt to beat New England. What are your thoughts on Nathan Byrne, and how happy are you that he's sticking around until 2026 at the least?
I love the DoorDash clip that you posted, number one.
Yeah,
Danny.
Yeah.
That
was, well, Bernie loves DoorDash, man. He's anytime I've talked to him, I'm like, you know, what's your favorite thing about Charlotte? He's like, DoorDash. I'm like, geez, man, cook a meal, Nathan, for fuck's sake.
Fantastic content there. I'm happy. It seems like he's Westwood's right-hand man in terms of the locker room.
Westwood has used that term.
Exactly, and that's why I think that, you know, that definitely helped his case in terms of signing a new contract. He still has the legs in terms of, you know, tracking back and up the field, like Luke Beadle said. Yeah, it doesn't look great for Jalen, but as he gets older, Jalen's going to be able to probably share more and more games with him. And, you know, a rising tide lifts all boats.
I don't know. I personally think Jalen Lindsey's on his way out myself. I think that Byrne extension is a sign of that. Jalen's contract is up at the end of this year, if I'm not mistaken. So I think he could leave on a free. You can double check me on that, but I believe on the recent MLS roster status document that came out, I was looking at that with Willie P today at the season ticket holders event. And so it looks like it's just a bad sign for Jalen's long-term future in Charlotte in my mind, because I think Jalen Lindsey's a guy that deserves to be starting somewhere, you know, and especially with a new expansion club coming in, San Diego's coming in, right? So, like, you know, if I'm Jalen, I'm not hating to move out to San Diego if they need to start in right back. And there's other clubs that he could be for. But as it is, Nathan Byrne is the man, as our commenters are saying. What's up, Brandon Davis? And we're all very glad he's here for the long term. I think, you know, Byrne, like you said, I love what you said, Daniel, about him being a right-hand man to Westwood, our captain. I think that's very important.
The Westwood extension and then the Byrne extension 1 week later is not a coincidence.
Ooh, I like that. When is the Kalina extension? When is the Patrick Ajimong? Ajimong is like, doesn't need an extension per se. What he does need is like
pay raise, some
security, and he needs a raise. The kid just needs some more money as a show of good faith for everything he's contributed. Like, we've got him through 26, I think, regardless, but like, let's just give him some more money, because, you know, sort of a market adjustment, if you will, for sure. We love when those things happen. I want to close real quick. The one thing that's cool about Charlotte FC is they tend to, around this time every year, and there's already been a couple this year, Westwood had one earlier, there tends to be they like to party. You know, the club uses the party as a big push in all their marketing materials. And on Sunday, we had a real party, because Brant Bronico, for the last 3 years, he's the Charlotte kid, he's the mayor. He has released a beer this year. He does it's a fundraiser for Beds for Kids. Brant Bronico raised $50,000 for Beds for Kids, handing him a 50K check at this event that we had on Sunday. It was at Hot Fly Brewing. Everyone who watches is familiar with this show knows that we're huge fans of Hot Fly Brewing. And the caption I've got on here is that the Bronico party got a little hazy. I was there. You were not there, Daniel. Probably a good thing for your blood alcohol content level. I went pretty strong on the Brawny party, had quite a few pops. The mayor is the new beer that they created for Brant, and they were given all kinds of little goodie bags. They had this card. Let me grab it. They had this little trading card. They had a little Brant Bronico trading card they were giving away at the party with his stats on the back. Very cool. Yeah, exactly. You got to love that. The mayor was a hazy IPA that came in pretty strong on the ABV. And I got there early, and I was there often and at that bar. And I had quite a few. I was having such a good time that I probably had a little bit too good of a time. What can I say? But the best part was the accessibility and the way that everybody was being cool and players were loving to say hey, and Zoran was there, and I don't think Dean showed up, but there you can see some pictures that I took here. I took a picture with Zoran right away. That one, the upper left on your screen right there, is like the first picture I took with Zoran. I said, hey ZK man, take a pic with me, and he's like, I don't know, Dean is gonna be mad at me if I take a pic, if he sees me taking a picture with you. You know, that was still before Dean and I apologized. Flip it back to the beginning of this episode if you need to see that coverage. But you can see Chris Gallagher, a great friend of mine, the Reverend Burrow, we call him, NASCAR man. He was hooking, like hanging out with Westwood, and he actually won Westwood's cleats in the silent auction. Yere was there, even after getting dropped and watching, you know, the guy who replaced you put up a clean sheet. Yere Yurinen could have easily sat at home and just done whatever, hung out with his family or sulked. But Yeri's not that type of guy. He's still going to come out the next day, support Brant, support Brant's charity. Jamie Patterson was there. Zorn with the Carolina Reapers, probably my favorite picture in this entire montage. We love the Reaper, and to see him getting after it with the general manager. Like, that picture is basically like Charlotte FC in a freaking nutshell. All we need is Cerminti in the background on that one. But ZK and the Reaper, absolutely classic. And Westwood, like, not all the players were drinking beers, but Westwood was throwing down, having a few pops, drinking.
You know how he is.
You know how Westwood likes to do it. And we had a hell of a time at the Brawny Party. What can I say? It's such a great time. You're never, ever, ever going to go to a local brewery in Charlotte and hang out with, you know, a dozen and a half members of the Carolina Panthers or the Charlotte Hornets. It's just not going to happen. So God bless MLS. God bless soccer. God bless this club specifically for the accessibility and everything they do to get these players feeling like part of the community and feeling like you can, because I know I'm not friends with these guys, but I'm friendly with these guys. And it's nice to be able to see them in public and cheers them up and stuff like that, for sure.
Absolutely. I'm glad you had a good time. It seemed like a great cause, and congratulations to everyone who participated to help raise that $50,000. That's huge.
Absolutely insane. And there's really not much more that I can say other than, once again, I'm sorry to Dean. I'll pop that back up just in case anybody did miss the beginning of the episode. I want to thank Dean Smith for not being too mad at me about the whole team is boring situation. Who are you calling boring? Who dares call my team boring? Dean, he was not happy about it, but he and I had a great little moment at the season ticket members event. That event, if you want to go next year, we got a comment here at the end about ticket prices. The event's going to cost you more if you want to go next year. I don't know what to say other than that the cost of everything goes up, and it's your choice to either pay it or not pay it. And I think eventually it could start to be the snake eating its tail for sure. But as of now, I happily renewed my supporter section season ticket. It's a little easier in the supporter section because those are the most affordable tickets. If you don't like the supporters and you're sitting in some more important, you know, some better seats, might be a little tougher. What did you have any thoughts on that, Danny, as we go away? Did you decide to renew or not renew? Do you not want to talk about it? It's a completely
no. I renewed. Me and my girlfriend split tickets with two of my good buddies, so it makes it a little bit more affordable. We do have cheap tickets. It's not in the supporter section, but it's, you know, 205. So if you ever see me over there, come say hey.
Love to.
Not too bad of a raise. At some point, it might get a little bit much. It was feeling harder to justify when the invoice came out when we were playing shitty football. But after, you know, win at the Fortress, you know, it made it worth it, right?
Long may it continue. The idea that we might be able to crush Chicago and Montreal at home in our back-to-back finale. We got a midweek next win. 1 week from tonight, we will be playing at home against Chicago. 3 days after that, we'll be playing at home against Montreal. And then we got a week and a half off. We got 2 weeks off before we do the decision day. Kind of weird to have a bye week the week before decision day. That's going to be weird. But at least we'll get to see where a bunch of chips fall and know exactly what we need to do up in D.C. Hopefully D.C. will not be, you know, on military lockdown 2 weeks before the presidential election takes place. Who knows? But I love it. Thanks for jumping in, everyone, in the comments. Daniel, thank you so much for you jumping in. Johnny Hayes was unavailable tonight, so we made it a two Danny's edition. I hope everybody loved it.
Absolutely. I enjoyed myself, so hope everyone does as well.
Hell yeah. Send us out with the catchphrase, bro.
For the crown, baby.